Chapter 21. Two cars were parked in front of Miss Emma's house, and as I got closer, I saw that one was Reverend Ambrose's. The porch light was on, and though I didn't feel like going into the house, I thought I owed Miss Emma that respect. The door was shut against the cold, but someone opened it immediately when I knocked. The room was crowded and warm from a nice fire in the fireplace. People spoke quietly, but still it was noisy. Inez was there, and I asked her about Miss Emma. She nodded toward the bed. Miss Emma lay under a quilt, her head resting on two pillows. The mosquito bar hung on the bed behind her. I asked her how she felt. She did not answer. Only a slight movement at the corners of her mouth showed that she had heard me. Her eyes were looking at something that was not in the room. I left the bed and went into the kitchen, where most of the talking was going on. My aunt was in charge there. As Miss Emma's best friend, she was taking over now that Miss Emma had taken to her bed. She was at the stove making coffee. You could smell that Luzanne coffee all over the kitchen. Reverend Ambrose was sitting at the table talking to a couple of people who did not live in the quarter. He gave me a long, hard look to let me know what he thought of me, but I already knew what he thought of me, and I turned away from him. Irene, who was helping my aunt in the kitchen, asked me if I wanted a cup of coffee. I told her no, and I thanked her for taking over the class for me that afternoon. She told me she liked the practice. I knew that she wanted to be a teacher. My aunt heard us talking and turned from the stove to look at me. I could see in her face that she and Reverend Ambrose had had a conversation about me, and he had probably said some things that I would not care to hear. She told me that my food was on the back of the stove at home, but I would have to warm it if I wanted to eat. She had nothing else to say to me and started talking to someone else. After I had been there 10 minutes, I left the house. At home, I lit a fire to warm the food, cabbage with salt pork and Irish potatoes. I didn't have to warm up the cornbread. I made a fire in my aunt's room so it would be warm when she came home, and I went around to my side of the house and lit a fire there too. By now, the food was warm, and I went back into the kitchen to eat, sitting near the stove, with a plate balanced on my left hand. I had just finished eating and was washing the plate in the pan of soap water when I heard someone come up on the front porch. Vivian was at the door. We stood there looking at each other a moment. Then she came in and took off her coat and galoshes. We went to sit at the fire in my room. I told her the only thing I could offer her was a cup of coffee. We went into the kitchen and warmed the coffee and returned to my room to sit before the fire.
After I heard about it, I knew I had to see you, she said.
I was coming to you tonight.
I didn't know that.
I'm glad you came. We finished our coffee, and I took the empty cups to the kitchen and washed them. When I came back to the room, I asked Vivian to lie on the bed beside me. We lay on our sides for a while, then we lay on our backs, looking up at the ceiling. The room's only light came from the fireplace.
When are you going back? Vivian asked me.
I don't know, I said. I'll have to talk to Miss Emma.
Have you seen her?
She's in bed. Vivian was quiet a moment.
Is that her house up there where the cars are?
Yes.
I wanted to stop in, but I didn't know if I should.
You can go by before you leave.
You think I ought to? She asked.
I want you to, I said.
You think this is a good time?
I think so.
I don't want to cause any trouble.
You won't.
I want them to like me, she said.
They will. They'll have to.
I don't want it that way.
I'm going to live my own life, Vivian, and I hope you're part of it. If they like it, it's all right. If they don't, it's the same. Vivian was quiet. We were holding hands, lying very close together with all our clothes on. After 15 or 20 minutes, we got up and got our coats. Vivian put on her galoshes. Her car was parked behind mine in front of the house. I said that we could come back and get her car later. I told her to walk in my track so her galoshes would not get muddy. We could hear the people inside the house as we came onto the porch. There were more people at the house now, and we had to push our way through to reach the bed. "I brought someone to see you, Miss Emma," I said. Vivian moved closer to the bed, and Miss Emma's face showed that she remembered her. Vivian leaned over and whispered something to Miss Emma, and as she stood back, Miss Emma's eyes followed her. I could see in her eyes that she was pleased with what Vivian had said. I introduced Vivian to others in the room, then we went into the kitchen. Tant Lou was at the stove, pouring hot water over the coffee grounds while talking to Mrs. Sarah James. Mrs. Sarah greeted me, and my aunt turned around and saw Vivian standing there.